Amen. Here we go. Today I want to talk to you about He does all things well. He does all things well. Lord, I thank You for Your word today. I thank You for Your grace, Your mercy, and Your love. Help us to be Your instruments in this dark world. Thank You, Lord, that You are the one, the only one, who does all things well. We give You permission, Lord. Do that well in us. Do something in us, Lord. Do it well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I just have to laugh. I love the sound of those kids in service. Don't you just do that? Let's give our kids a big hand. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I love it. Praise God. Mark chapter 7. Here we go. You ready? Mark chapter 7, verse 31. And again, departing from Tyre, the region of Tyre and Sidon, He came to the Sea of Galilee through the region of the Decapolis. They brought to Him one who was deaf and had difficulty speaking. And they pleaded. What was the word last week? Begged. Jesus. Now they're to put His hand on Him. He took Him aside from the crowd and put His fingers into His ear and spat and touched His tongue. That sounds kind of nasty. You don't even think that's nasty? Huh? Looking up into heaven, He sighed and said unto Him, y'all say that with me. Yeah, exactly. That is, be opened. Immediately His ears were opened, and immediately His tongue was loosened, and He spoke correctly. He ordered them, this is Jesus, He ordered them to tell no one. But the more He ordered them, the more they greatly proclaimed it. Even Jesus can't win sometimes. They were astonished beyond measure, saying, say it with me, He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Is that not awesome? Lord, what a great story. What a great lesson for us in the world in which we live. They brought Him to Jesus. Notice, they're not telling who brought. They don't know if He's Jew. We don't know if they're Gentiles. We don't know what they are. Does it really matter? No, they just knew where to go. They went to Jesus. They brought a friend to Jesus. That's a little theme in Scripture. They brought people to Jesus. They brought a man who couldn't walk and lowered him through the roof. They brought him. Nathanael had to be gotten by somebody. Andrew went and got Nathanael to bring him to Jesus. I'm telling you, you and I have to do a better job of bringing people to Jesus. They brought him to Jesus. He was deaf, and he couldn't speak. Now, I'm going to say something here, and some of you ain't going to like this. He was defective. You are too. I just want you to know, you're defective. You were conceived in iniquity. I mean, not that sexual union is a sin, is that you carry the DNA of your father and your father and your father and your father and your father, and your father all the way back to Adam, who disobeyed God in the garden and just conditioned us to death. We're in that family together. We're defective. That means everything without Jesus, you look through the eyes of sin. You think through the mind of sin. Your heart operates on a fleshly notion and method that distorts things from the plan and purposes of God. Aren't you glad somebody brought you to Jesus? Glory to God. It changes everything. They pleaded with Jesus. They pleaded with Jesus to place his hand on him. And guess what Jesus does? Something more. You know what I like about Jesus? He doesn't make a spectacle of the man. He takes him aside. He takes him aside. He doesn't need a show. Doesn't want to make a show out of this man. He doesn't want to make an event out of this man. See, the problem with the church today, we want church to be an event. Church is not about an event. Church is about a relationship with Jesus. And if you have a relationship with Jesus, you just want to be with his family. It's just what happens. Well, I can live a Christian life without the church. You know what I call that? Deceived. That's a theological paradox. Can you be a Christian without fellowship in the family of faith? Well, I just don't fellowship with a church. I fellowship with other brothers and sisters. No. Can I tell you, look through the New Testament. There's the church of Thessalonica. There's the church of Corinth. There's a church. They had a local church in everywhere, and they gathered together on a weekly basis. God has always had a gathered people. He wants a gathered people so that the world can witness the redemption he's done in our lives. I know this. There's less arguments with other believers when you're at home by yourself. It makes it easier. But sometimes, iron has to strike iron. You need someone to rough you up a little bit. Because you need to practice grace. Because if you don't practice grace, you're delusioned. You think you're okay. You just think, listen, everybody needs to be better. And you help me be better. Amen? That's right. We need each other. Jesus takes him aside, and Jesus wants to make contact with this man. He wants to have a conversation with him. He touches him, he spits, touches, I mean, yuck, does that. But it's Jesus. You know what I mean? It's Jesus. Jesus entered this man's world, and he showed he cared. He wanted this man to know, you're just not another miracle. I like that. I like that. You see, when Jesus saved you, he wanted you to know you were special in and of yourself. Amen? You bet it. Has Jesus ever set you aside, took you aside to heal you? Think about it. Sometimes God does set you aside to heal. I think that's what he did with Peter. When Peter denied him three, you know, and he says to his disciples, his other brothers that he walked with 3.5 years with Jesus, he says, I'm going fishing. Some days that sounds pretty good to me. And what do? They go fish. They fish all night. And where's Jesus? On the beach with breakfast. That's my Jesus. He took Peter aside. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And every time the answer is the same way, you know, Jesus says to him, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. In three different ways, he says that to him. And finally, Peter just gives up and says, Lord, thou knowest, I don't know a thing. We'd all be better off if we came to that conclusion earlier. That he knows more than we do. He knows more about our lives than we do ourselves. Can I tell you, you can trust him who doesn't want to make a spectacle of your life. wants to love on you. So he took Peter aside and healed him and restored him. On the day of Pentecost, he gives the message, the least likely. And 3,000 people get saved. And then, in the book of Acts, you hear the story of Saul, who's what? Killing Christians. Because he's on a mission. He's very zealous for the law of the Old Testament. And his purpose is, he just wants to wipe out the Christians. He wants to wipe out the church. And when Stephen, the first martyr, is stoned, everybody's laying their coat at Paul. At his feet. He's the champion that's going to kill the church. And then he meets Jesus on the Damascus Road. Change that story. Aren't you glad God knows how to change your story? If you let him. Huh? If you'll let him change the story. And if you don't see scripture and study a little bit, you think Paul got saved and he went to preach. He just started preaching. But the truth is, when you do the study, you realize that God just put Paul in the desert for 10 years. He put him on the shelf. He took him aside to heal, to change, to transform, to teach what he needed to know. To what? To be the apostle to the Gentiles. Sometimes God needs to put you on the shelf so he can heal some things that need to be healed in you. Guess what? He's a faithful healer. Amen? He's a faithful healer. So they got this man to Jesus, and Jesus took him aside, and Jesus said a word. Be opened. I mean, you know, when the creator of heaven and earth speaks a word, something's going to obey. And I know this. I just have this idea that when God commands ears to open, boom, they're going to respond. When he commands you to do something, you're going to argue with him. I don't know if I can do it. Like Moses. Here is Moses standing before a burning bush, standing before God himself. And he has this argument with God. I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't. Would you send somebody else to I just can't do this. Can I tell you something? Remember who's speaking. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the one who spoke it all into existence. And if God can open ears at the command, why don't you let him open up your heart? Why don't you let him flow through your life? Touch somebody, change somebody. Don't be afraid to pray if he asks somebody to pray for them. If you're ever in doubt who to pray for me. Do you hear me, man? Pray for me. Listen, Jesus gives a word of liberation to this man. And when the Creator speaks, things happen. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life when I needed a word of liberation. Jesus did it time and time again. Your sins are forgiven. Excuse me, can you thank God for saving yourself? Huh? Ooh, that's a liberation command. Amen? There are times when Jesus said, be healed. And there are times when he just said, peace, be still. And the winds and the waves obeyed him. A word of liberation. You're not alone. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I don't understand what's going on. Guess what? You'll say that a lot in your life. It's not for you to understand sometimes. It's for you to trust him. when you don't see a thing, when you don't know a thing, when you don't have any hope of anything ever changing, you're trusting the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Why? Because he spoke it all into existence, and this is not our final home. There's an eternity that we're going to dance with him all the days of. Amen? Sometimes we need a word of liberation. Immediately, this guy's ears were opened, and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak correctly. He spoke without defect. Hallelujah! That which was once compounded in life is now set free. He was free. The truth will what? Set you free. Amen? That's what he came to do. Isaiah makes a prophecy in Isaiah 35. I want you to go home and read this whole chapter today sometime. Just read Isaiah 35. I'm just going to pick out a verse about the promised Messiah. The eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. It's a beautiful thing what God can do. He is the one who unstops ears. Let the celebration begin. And that's what happened. Hallelujah. And then he ordered the man. He ordered his friends. He ordered everybody. Don't tell anybody. And the more he said, don't tell, they told. Mamas, you're not the only one. Here's the summation of Jesus' work. This is the summation of Jesus' activity. He does all things well. He does all things well. God is a God of intervention. He invaded this world with his love to redeem you and I who had no hope. He's a God of intervention who rescued my life from myself. He's a God of intervention, and you need to understand that. The question that some of you may have, well, when's he going to do it? Because God's timing is not always our timing. I don't know about you, but there are times in my life when it's never been fast enough. I mean God's intervention. Because I wanted him to heal somebody. I wanted him to do something that was beyond my ability and my power. That only he could step in and do. And it's like, you have to learn to trust a God who waits. This is what I know. God is a God of intervention. That's why you and I remember the cross. The greatest intervention in all of human history is God dying on the cross for you. Hallelujah. And you know what that does? It gives me hope for today. It gives me hope for tomorrow. It gives me hope for eternity. You and I can never give up because he who knew no sin became sin, that you and I might know what the righteousness of God is, that you and I might know what the power of the Holy Spirit is, that you and I might know God in a way that no other generation has ever known, because you and I have the potential, the power, and the possibility of seeing the King of Kings riding home, calling his bride home. That trumpet could sound at any minute. Listen, you may see all these troubling times going around, but Jesus said it would be that, and the command he gives us, open your ears, the command he gives us is look up, your redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah! Praise his name. Don't let the world overwhelm his intervention in your life. Amen. We're going to take communion together because we're going to remember the intervention of God, the cross of Calvary. If you did not get a communion cup when you came in today, would you just raise your hand? The ushers are ready. you just raise your hand. We'll get you. There's one in the back, and there's one right here in front, Aaron. God bless you guys. These little cups are tricky. You know, I don't know about you, but the first time I did it, I just ripped it all off and messed it all up. If you pull the first level up, it gets the bread. All right? The clear one. And then grab the silver, and it gets the juice. We're going to hold the bread together. Just take the bread, would you? I'm going to read a scripture to you right here. Paul is talking about idolatry and what that does in the body of Christ. When you and I fix our hope on other things than Jesus, we lose sight of a lot of things. Listen to what he said. So, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to the wise men. Judge for yourself what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Listen, for we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of one bread. I thank God for the family of God. I thank God for the household of faith. From every tribe, every kindred, and every tongue, we will gather one day at his feet. And he made a promise to us, I'm not going to eat this bread or drink this cup until you're with me in heaven. Oh, what a celebration that's going to be. Why? Because God intervened in my life. I hope you can say that today. God intervened in your life. Lord, I thank you for this bread that represents your body that was broken. Your body that was ravagedly beaten. Your body that was hung on a cross. Your body sacrificed for my sin. He who knew no sin became sin, that I might be free. Thank you, Lord, for your divine intervention into my life, in our lives, to make us the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for that which was broken that brings healing to our world, to our life. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, shall we partake the bread? Hallelujah.
Who has the power to raise the dead?
His name is Jesus.
Who can save us from our sin? He is our hope, our righteousness.
Let's thank the Lord for the blood that he shed for us. Father, we just thank you for the blood that Jesus shed for us. Before the foundation of the world, you ordained that Jesus would shed his blood so we could be saved, so we could be set free, so we could be healed. We thank you for the blood that cleanses from all our sin. It doesn't just cover the sin, it wipes our sin away. And we thank you for that blood. Lord, because the blood of sheep and bulls and goats could not do what your blood did. Because your blood is the blood of a perfect, ultimate sacrifice. And we say thank you for your blood. As we get ready, Lord, now to partake and drink from this cup, we thank you for the blood. We thank you for the blood that heals marriages and the blood that heals our sin-sick heart. And we thank you for the blood that gives us new and fresh life. And we just give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Why don't you stand with me and worship the Lord? Would you just thank him right now? Would you just glorify his name? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Who can command the highest praise? Who has the name above all names? You stand alone. I stand amazed, Jesus, only Jesus. Oh, who can compare the highest praise? Who has the name above all names?
Come on.
You stand alone.
I told the staff last Sunday, I'm going to call everybody down to the altar. And then, you know, you just realize we're in a world where there's COVID. And just got to be careful. Wow. And there's all kinds of opinions. Listen, I'm in the business of taking care of sheep. And you got to watch out for the sheep. We can pray for you today without being here at the front. That's Jesus, isn't it? If you have a need in your life today, say, Pastor Larry, would you pray for me? Would you just raise your hand right now? Why don't you look around? There's people with hands up. Now I want you to stretch your hand toward those hands. And I want you to pray. Lord, I thank you for this day of grace. I thank you, Lord God, for your divine intervention. I thank you, Lord God, that you are a Jesus who does all things well. And I ask you by the power of your Holy Spirit, touch our family. Touch our brothers and sisters, Lord, today. May they feel and know the embrace of God. May they feel and know the power of your Holy Spirit to do what needs to be done in their lives, Lord. Heal. Transform. May they hear you. Give that word, oh God. of liberation for the circumstances of their lives. God, move by your Spirit. God, I thank you. I praise you, Lord. I magnify your name. And thank you, Lord, for hearing us today, Lord. We bless you. We praise you. We magnify your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand of praise.
Oh, the highest praise.
Yes.
Yours is the name above all names. You stand alone. I stand amazed. Jesus, only Jesus. You will command the highest praise. Yours is the name above all names. You stand alone, and I stand amazed. Jesus, only Jesus. Jesus, only Jesus. Jesus, only Jesus.
Amen. Amen. I am glad you're in church today. Amen. Glory to God. Live in the Spirit, grow in truth, and love one another. Pray.